Welcome once again to the Journey Home Outreach Ministries Bible Study. This is lesson one of our series on Teenagers of the Bible. I am Elder Faye, your teacher for the Teenagers of the Bible series. At the end of our last lesson, I announced this Bible study lesson as being a Bible study lesson for teenagers and young adults. But as I delve deep into the lives of these teens and adolescents in the Bible, as an adult, I found myself mesmerized by these teen stories. I'm so happy to share some of these stories with you, and it is my hope that you will share them with as many teens as possible. I always like to start each Bible study with a focus point. And this lesson's focus is on being anchored and secure in your faith. What is faith? In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the very first verse, it states that it is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence. Things we cannot see. These are powerful words that are sure to build your faith. Long after this Bible study is over, I want you to meditate daily or as often as you can on this scripture, Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and the first verse. Okay. Along with this focus point of being anchored in your faith, I want you to keep the word understanding in mind. So what is this word understanding all about? It means being kind, sympathetic, and thoughtful toward others. I need you to really know the importance of this word in your life. So let's quickly take a further look at it. In Proverbs, the 4th chapter, here we see Solomon giving advice to the younger generation, giving them some guidelines to live their lives by. He talked about the security and wisdom. Wisdom is considered your knowledge and your intellect. How often do we get caught up in our intellect? But listen closely to what Solomon teaches. In Proverbs, the 4th chapter, the 4th verse, he said, "Hear, my children, the instructions of a father, and give attention to knowing understanding." Remember, understanding is that thoughtfulness toward others. When I was my father's son, he also taught me and said to me, "Let your heart return words, to retain my word, and keep my commands and live." Get wisdom. Get understanding. He said, wisdom is the principal thing, meaning the source and the basic. So he said, therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. What Solomon is teaching here is that you can have all the intellectual knowledge you can obtain, but if you don't have understanding, that thoughtfulness and tolerance of others, your intellect won't carry you very far. I must insist that you read the book of Proverbs. But it's a guide to how you should live your life. So now let's get started with our lesson, if this wasn't a lesson within itself. But our lesson is about teenagers of the Bible. So let's get to our first teenager, the story of Joseph. In Joseph's story, Joseph was betrayed and hated by his brothers. He resisted sexual temptation by his employer's wife, and after resisting, was falsely accused. Now, that's a lot of pressure to be on in a teenager's life. And yet Joseph was anchored in his faith enough to hang in there and trust the God he served to see him through. And you too can be assured that God will see you through in all your situations if you can just anchor yourself and stand firm, trusting in his promises. Joseph's story begins in Genesis, the 37th chapter. Joseph, a young man, 17, was tending the flock with his brothers, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Joseph went back and told his father something that they was doing that was not so good. Now, Joseph's father, Israel, loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in an old age, and he made this beautiful robe for him. Some refer to this robe as the coat of many colors, and Joseph just wore this robe everywhere. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than he loved them, they hated him, and they could not speak a kind word to him. The one thing that is sure to destroy a family is sibling rivalry, jealousy, and envy toward one another. Let's continue. Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. You were binding shaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose up and stood upright, while your shades gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of the dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brother. Now let's keep in mind that this is a 17-year-old who probably was excited to tell his older brothers about his dream. But listen, he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father, well, his brothers, his fathers rebuked him. He reprimanded them and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your brothers and I and your mother actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers became more jealous of him. His father just kept these things in his mind and in his heart. Now his brothers had gone to raise their father's flock near Shechem, and Israel said to them, "Go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring word back to me." So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near a place called Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns." That means that it was a reservoir or a deep ditch. "And say that a furious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dream." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, and they took him and threw him in the cistern. The cistern was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat their meal. "How could you be so mean toward your baby brother? They threw him in a ditch and sat down to eat." They looked up and saw a caravan of Israelites coming. They were on their way down to Egypt. Judah, one of his brothers, said, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Israelites and not lay a hand on him. After all, he is our brother, our flesh and blood." So his brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of his cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. Then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat and dipped the robe in blood. They took the robe to their father and said, "We found this. Examine this and see what it is your son's robe." He recognized it and said, "It is my son's robe. Some furious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." Jacob, Joseph's father, mourned for him many days. He refused to be comforted. He said, "I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave." Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. At that point, Joseph's life was changed in a moment. From being a beloved son to a slave in an unknown land called Egypt. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of the Egyptian master. Things could be better for Joseph. But just like sometimes in our lives, just as we think we have overcome all the bad things that has happened to us, life turns around and throws you yet another curve. Let's listen. Now Joseph was well-built and handsome. And after a while, the master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and then sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. Let's take note here. Joseph did not yield to this temptation. He stayed anchored in his faith and spoke point. And true to the God he served, I can't emphasize enough that this is the key to becoming a winner in every circumstance you face in life. There's no way you could fail. No matter how bad things look, just keep hanging on to your faith and trusting in God's promises. Let's continue with Joseph's story. One day, he went into the house to attend his duties. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in his hand and ran out of the house. She called her household servant and said, "He came here to sleep with me. But I screamed for help, and he ran out of the house." When his master came, she told him the story. When his master heard the story his wife told him, he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. We'll just stop here and take note again. And know that when you stand with your faith in God and do what is right in the sight of God, even prison can't keep you from right. Hallelujah. Listen, once again, God was with him in all his trials. Joseph continued to be faithful. He did not give up. The Lord again blessed him in all his work. The jailer gave him charge of all the other prisoners. While in prison, he had a dream that the chief butler's position in Pharaoh's office would be restored to him. The butler made a promise to Joseph that if his dream came true, he would mention about Joseph's innocence to the Pharaoh. But the butler forgot his promise to Joseph. And after 2 years, when Pharaoh had two dreams, the cupbearer remembered Joseph and the skill to interpret dreams. So when Joseph was brought to Pharaoh, he interpreted his dreams about 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. He suggested to the Pharaoh to prepare for the shortage by storing food during the good years. the Pharaoh liked his proposal, and he made Joseph head of state to implement his plans for the upcoming famine. Joseph was given an Egyptian name and was married to an Egyptian preacher's daughter. Joseph is well grown up now. He's about 30 years old. So after 13 years of suffering and struggling, God made him the most influential person in the entire known kingdom, in the entire known world at that time. The famine brought all people from different nations to Egypt for help, including his brothers from Israel. They could not recognize him, but he knew them. He remembered the dream he had when he was a young boy. So Joseph, after testing them in different ways, made himself known to them. He forgave them and persuaded them to sell in Egypt with their father Jacob. The important point here is to remember is, no matter how mean his brothers had been to him, what did he do? He forgave them. A lesson we can learn from the life of Joseph, who was 17 years old, is even through the tough times, Joseph continued to rely on the God he served to see him through. So live your faith and stay true to the God you serve, no matter how hard times may seem. You will always come out on top. It never fails. Our next four teenagers we're going to take a look at are Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their story. Daniel and his friends were teens around 15 years old. They were ripped from their home and forced to live in a culture that celebrated sensuality, greed, and indulgence. Still, they stayed anchored in God and refused to abandon their faith. Let's listen. In Daniel, the first chapter, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem, their homeland, and besieged it. He took it over. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and nobility. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were from Judea, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. Let's stop for a moment and get a clear picture of just what happened to these 15-year-old boys. They were kidnapped from their home. They were carried to a foreign land, made to learn a new language, even given new names, and were to be made to live and eat food and wine from the king's table. Let's listen to what happened next. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. But the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned me food and drink Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would have my head because of you. Daniel then said to the official, please test your servant for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who ate the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to do this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and gave them vegetables instead. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief officials presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. They were now about 17 years old. Let's take note here and learn from these teenagers, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They did not spend negative energy resisting the teachings and learning of new things. They were willing to let go of past things that were not important at that time, but to hang on to the most important thing, and that was their faith in the God they served. You know, we sometimes send negative energy, resisting learning new cultures and new languages for fear of losing our identity. When in reality, our only identity should be our identity with the God we serve. Let's listen to what happened. The king talked with them and found none equal to Daniel had it. Mishael and Azariah, so they entered the king's service. In Daniel, the second chapter, in the second year of his reign, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. His mind was troubled and could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians and the enchanters and the sorcerers and the astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, I had a dream trouble me, and I want to know what it means. Then the astrologers answered the king, may the king live forever. Tell your servant the dream, and he will interpret it. The king replied to the astrologers, this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what the dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it to me, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me. Once more they replied, let the king tell his servant the dream, and we will interpret it. Then the king answered, I am certain that you are trying to gain time because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is only one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me. The astrologer answered the king, there is no one on earth who can do what you have asked. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any enchanter or astrologer or magician. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the God, and they do not live among humans. This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death,
and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him. He spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officers, "Why did the king issue such a hard decree?" The officer explained the matter to Daniel. At this time, Daniel went in to the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are here." Listen here, there's a lesson for us. When Daniel found himself in trouble, what did he do? He prayed to God. We should do the same thing when we find ourselves in trouble. The first thing we should do is stop and pray to God and not try to work these things out for ourselves. 9 times out of 10, we cannot do it. Let's seek God's help first. Then Daniel went to Arioch and said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret the dream for him." Arioch took Daniel to the king, and once he said, "I found a man among the exiles from Judea who can tell the king what his dreams mean. The king asked Daniel, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dreams and interpret it?" Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the day to come. Your dream and the vision that passed through your mind as you were lying in bed are these. As your majesty was lying there, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mystery showed you what was going to happen." As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me not because I have agreed, not because I have greater wisdom than anyone else alive, but so that your majesty may know the interpretation and that you may understand. I love the way Daniel gave God the glory and not try to make himself seem smarter than the other so-called wise men. Let's listen to what he told the king again. He said, "As for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than anyone else alive, but so that you, your majesty, may know the interpretation and that you may understand." Daniel went on to tell the king what he had dreamed and told him the meaning. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true and its interpretation is trustworthy. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of God and the Lord of kings." Here in Daniel, the 2nd chapter, the 47th verse, King Nebuchadnezzar said something to Daniel that every believer should be striving for, and that is to do or say something in their lifetime that would make someone say, "Surely your God is the God of God and the Lord of kings." Let's continue. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all the wise men. Daniel requested the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators of the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained in the royal court. Position and honor meant nothing to Daniel and his friends. Their entire agenda while in captivity was based on being loyal to the God they served. And they prospered. This really ends the boy's teenage years. But as young adults, I want to give you a little bit of what happened to them as young adults, yes, to keep increasing your faith. Some awesome things happened to them as young adults, and I'm going to go through just one of them. After they had passed the test for the king and he had promoted them, after he had interpreted his dream, everything was well. But just like sometime in our own life, when things couldn't be better for us, here comes something bigger than ever to test our faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the young adults, was about to face the greatest test ever of their faith. In Daniel, third chapter, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 60 cubits wide. 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. And he set it up on Blazing Door in the province of Babylon. He then summoned all the important people to come to the dedication of the image. And they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sounds of the instruments, all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as you hear the sound of the instruments and all kinds of music, all the nation and people of every language fall down and worship the image of gold that Nebuchadnezzar has set up." At this time, some astrologers came forward and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "There are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your God nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, Is it true that you do not serve my God or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the instruments and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? I just love the reply to this powerful king that they gave. What courage. Listen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, "We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we were thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us. And he will deliver us from it, your majesty. He will deliver us from your hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your God or worship the image of gold you have set up. This is what our focus point is all about in these lessons, is staying true to your faith no matter what the circumstances may present." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. Then came the Nebuchadnezzar, lead to his feet an amazing access of advisors. Wasn't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, suddenly, your majesty. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, bound and unharmed. And the fourth one looked like the son of God. Nebuchadnezzar then approached him, opening up the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire and stood before all the important people that were there, and not a hair on their heads was stained, and their harm, their bodies were not, their clothes were not. Things, and the robes were not torn, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. I challenge you to just trust in God, the God you serve. Trust in him. Trust in his promise. Put your life in his hands. And I promise you, you can't fail ever. I want you to read the entire book of Daniel to continue to strengthen your faith. Because as these young men got older, they were constantly, their faith was constantly tested. You might have heard about Daniel being thrown in the lion's den. Read these books. These are books that's going to make you so strong in your faith that no matter what happens, you're going to come out of it. Our last story, this lesson, is to teach you the consequences of straying away from your faith, losing your anchor, so to speak. Our next story is about a preteen, Solomon. We hear much about King Solomon the man, but did you know that Solomon was only 12 years old? And he was anointed king. Let's listen to Solomon's story. Before David died, he appointed as king his son Solomon, who was 12 years old at the time, with these words. He said, I go the way of all the earth. You shall be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man, and keep the charges of the Lord your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his testimony, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, wherever you turn. That is a tall order for a 12-year-old. But it was not beyond Solomon's capacity to carry out. Let's listen. Shortly after Solomon is anointed king, God appeared to him in a dream, which he invited Solomon to make a request for himself. Solomon answered, but I am a small child. Give therefore your servant an understanding heart. Remember that word understanding I asked you to remember? He asked for an understanding heart to give him kindness and sympathy so he can rule the people. He said, give me an understanding heart to judge your people. as contender. His request pleased God, who tells them, because you have not requested riches and honor, but only that which will benefit all the people, I will give you not only an understanding heart like none other before you or after you, but also riches and honor like no other king in your day. God bless Solomon with wisdom and understanding, thoughtfulness for other people, and exalted him in the sight of Israel. His wisdom quickly became known worldwide, and his wealth exceeded all the kings in the world. Men came from all nations to hear the wisdom of Solomon. God also included a stern warning that there will be severe consequences if Solomon and the people of Israel turn from him and worship idols. Let's listen to God's warning to Solomon. I will uproot them from my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name, I will cast out of their sight. Solomon is grown up now. Solomon is devoted to God, and he's dedicated to God and the people. So what can possibly go wrong when everything is going so right? Solomon made one serious mistake. He violated the warning that God had given him and the people. Do not turn from him and worship idols. In Deuteronomy's 7th chapter, although God had forbidden marriages between Israel and people of other nations and had warned against having many wives, in Solomon's latter years, he did just the opposite. He took wives from other nations that did not worship Solomon's God. He even built places of worship for the gods of his foreign wives, and they turned his heart from the true God. Of course, King Solomon did not become an idol worshiper, but he did not prevent his wives from carrying on their adulterous practice. Solomon did not foresee the problems that his newly born wives would cause. That's why God gave him the warning. There's a warning here for us also. If God would tell us not to do something, it is for our own good. The one thing we must remember, we see the immediate, and we sometimes act on the immediate, but God sees our future. And everything that is happening in our lives for the good, or what we consider not so good, is necessary for God to get us where we need to be in the future. So we need to cling to our faith in God's promise and watch the good come on us. Every bad situation we find ourselves in. Now back to Solomon. In 1 Kings, the 11th chapter, we see King Solomon, prophet, wisest of all men, king of Israel. His wives turned his heart to allow them to worship after their God, an inexcusable mistake that Solomon held the record accountable for. How often do we feel in the same situation? We fall in the same trap by thinking we can handle sin. And when we can't, that God will just overlook it and run to our rescue. There will always be consequences for our disobedience to God's warning, whether it's to do something or not to do something. The Bible ends Solomon's story, relating that God was angry with him and told him in 1 Kings 11 chapter. Since you are guilty of this, and you have not kept my covenant and my laws, I will tear the kingdom away from you. But I will not do it in your time for the sake of your father David. Instead, I will tear it away from your son. I will give your son one tribe for the sake of my servant David, and this for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. Please do not miss lesson two of the Teenagers of the Bible series, as I introduce other teenagers and young adults that were anchored in their faith in God, as they stayed true to the God they served. God was with them through all their circumstances and brought them out on top. I will also be giving you some females of the Bible who were so true and anchored in their faith. So don't miss the rest of this series on Teenagers of the Bible. And until then, may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.